And he became sin who knew no sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. And we thank you that we no longer have to try to strive or struggle, but we can rest in the finished work that Jesus did on Calvary, that loving sacrifice that we just remembered and celebrated today, how he gave his life for us. And he said, Father, they don't take my life, I give my life. And he gave it freely, and we thank you, Lord, that that blood still has the power today to save, to heal, to cleanse all our sin, to bring deliverance, to bring strength to us, Lord God, because Jesus paid the price. And so we thank you so much for that, Lord God, for your power, for your anointing today. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive the engrafted word, which is not only able to save our souls, but build us up and strengthen us in these times, especially in these days that we're in now. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So last week, on the first page, the one with our symbol, with the fire and the Holy Ghost and all that, boy, the Lord touched me on that one, but that's awesome. But we started off saying about Jesus as a baptizer. So we know all four Gospels confirmed what John the Baptist was saying, that he was waiting to see who the Spirit would come upon and remain. Because the Spirit came upon many people all throughout the Old Testament. David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit like we are today after the cross, but the Holy Spirit was upon them and worked through the prophets. It was the Holy Ghost who talked through all the prophets. You can look in the book of Hebrews. It said the Holy Ghost, thus signifying, the Holy Ghost said this, Holy Ghost said that. And we saw that Jesus came, according to John, to be a baptizer of Holy Ghost and fire. Not only was calling from God Almighty as the Son of Man and the Son of God to die on the cross for our sins, but he was also to give us that extraordinary experience of being filled with the same Spirit that he had when he did the miracles. And we're going to read some scriptures today that are going to confirm it. People say, oh, Pastor Tony, you really saturate. You go over and over. You know what? I want to just keep going over and over and saturate it. Like Sister Kathy, you always say it in the morning, Lord, saturate us with your love. Well, we need to be immersed, saturated in the truth, in the Word of God, to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth the truth in our lives in any way he chooses. He distributes liberally as he wills. So Jesus Christ was the initiator. Matter of fact, we went all the way back to Mary. The Holy Ghost conceived Jesus. That's why he was able to be sinless as the Son of Man. I don't want to get into that whole thing about second Adam, but there's awesome, awesome understanding about that. But Jesus became the one who's holy. And you know what? He didn't do any miracles. I mean, he had wisdom. He grew in wisdom and stature, the Bible says. They found him in the temple at 12 years old. He was sharing, and what wisdom he had, what wisdom he was growing in. But he did not have the anointing of the power, the dunamis power of God, until he was in the river with John the Baptist. And that's where we saw all three, a Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then John said he saw the Spirit descending upon him and remaining on him. So we see that even Jesus Christ himself, as the Son of Man, needed the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost to operate in his 3 years of ministry on this earth, to do the miracles and signs and wonders that he did. He could not have done it without the baptism in the river of the Holy Ghost upon him in his life. Because from that point on, the Spirit then led him out into the wilderness, and the Holy Ghost is the one that started taking over. He opened the book and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He declared that very same experience that I'm talking about when I say that, behold, the promise is unto us today. And we went through it and we saw those points, those few points there. Jesus commanded them, don't go out and talk about me. Don't go try to do miracles and wonders, even though they had done them before. He said, all power is given to me, and I give you power over serpents and scorpions. You go out. You heal the sick. You lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You cast out devils in my name. I give you the exousia, the authority, and not only the authority, but I give you the power to do it. But wait till you're endued with that power before you go out to be my witnesses. He commanded them. It wasn't a suggestion like, hey, guys, don't go out there and do it. No, you cannot do it unless you have the anointing and the power that I had, and I'm leaving him with you. I'm going away, but he will come, and he will lead you and guide you in all truth. And that's what we talked about was that they waited for the power then as they were commanded. This is on the first page. And then so it happened. And when they were all gathered together in one place, the 120 of them, boom, the Holy Ghost came down. A rushing mighty wind came in, cloven tongues of fire upon them. And they all started worshiping and praising God in the tongues in another language. And is it for everyone? We saw yes. It says it was not only to our sons and daughters, but to all those who are afar off is this promise given. So that included all of us. That included the whole rest of the world. Whosoever will may come and drink of that water of life freely. That water of life is not only the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit in Scripture. So then we looked at the third part. See, I don't walk through the Bible in 4 hours. I run through it in 45 minutes, but I'm sorry, you know. Poor Josiah. But anyways, so it is for everyone. And then we saw one example, which actually there's two there, in Acts 10 and Acts 11, how that it was witnessed by many people, the same outpouring that the apostles received at the beginning on other people. And the evidence was that they saw them magnifying God and speaking in tongues like we were at the beginning. I'm going to touch on that a little bit later about the magnifying of God, of some of the different facets of the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. And the Lord specifically told me this. He said, I don't want you to teach this or preach this in a congregational setting, although that's what Paul talked about in Corinthians 12, 13, 14. He talked about it in public worship, in congregational setting. When you come together, this is the way it should be done. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about the personal, individual power and anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives that it was... Examples of it were given in those texts, and we're going to look at those texts, but not look at them as how should we do it in public. And how, we don't have the, you know, Apostle Paul said he came to the Corinthians, he said, in feebleness, and in fear, and in trembling. And that's how I am today because Pastor Sam's here. But he said he came in feebleness, fear, and trembling, but not really. I love him. He confirms me. He builds me up. He teaches me. I learn so much from him, and it's just an awesome privilege and honor to be his associate in this church. But what I'm saying about Apostle Paul was, yeah, amen. He deserves just way, way more than we could ever give him. But praise the Lord. Apostle Paul said that, though, because could you imagine going to this church of Corinth that was all whacked out and they had the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they had the anointing of God, they had the salvation, the message of Jesus Christ operating in their lives, but it was all messed up. And Paul's like, oh, my gosh, I got to go to this crazy place. And so he came, he said, but there was such distraction and such chaos going on in that church. That's probably why he said he came in timidity and in fear and trembling. Not the kind that's afraid of not being enough of God in there, because he said, all I want to know is Christ and him crucified. And he said, you know what he said? He said, in my preaching and my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and in power of the Holy Ghost. That your faith may not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And so he came and he said, I got to come into this church and I got to get the power of the Holy Spirit operating in the proper way with them. But I don't want to talk about the public worship, the congregational setting, and the come together part of it. I want to extrapolate from his discourse in 12, 13, and 14 some scriptures to show the personal operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, how he referred to them, and how we referred not to operate in certain ways in the church, maybe by two or three or whatever. He said, I'm glad I speak more than you all in tongues. I'm so glad. But when I'm together with you, I'd rather speak 5 words you could understand. So there's a proper operation. I'm not going to talk about that. I want to talk about every one of us individually. God said, I want my people individually, personally on fire for me before they think they have to come in and prophesy and interpret and do all these things and operate all these gifts. And he says, I need that which every joint's supplying to the edifying and building up of the body itself to be equipped, fully equipped with the fullness and the power that I have available for them. So that's the context we're going to pull these things out of, hopefully. So we saw that, yes, there was many examples, and yes, it was a separate experience. We saw how that these people that received that baptism had already been disciples, born again, believers in Jesus. Some were even baptized in water as well, but they had not heard there be such a thing as the Holy Ghost. We haven't had that. He hasn't fallen upon any of us yet. So there was a separate experience that we can have that is a deeper, more intimate. I kind of heard this analogy of it this morning, and it's mostly for married people, but you can understand it. It would be like a marriage. like a man and a woman getting married, so they're legally committed to one another, they're connected, they're married, but they never have intimacy. Don't kiss, don't hug, but we're married. We're married, we're legally married, we're staying together, but we don't have that deep intimacy. That's almost like a person who says, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, but they haven't had that deep, intimate experience of the Holy Spirit taking a hold of and shedding abroad the love of God in your heart, taking a hold of the reins of your heart and controlling the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. And we see that it starts with the tongue in James. The whole body is controlled by this. It's not a surprising thing that the first thing God did with them was get a hold of their tongues to go out and be a witness. Now I got to get a hold of your tongue first, and it's got to be in power. It's got to be in authority. It's got to be in the Spirit, in demonstration of the Spirit, not in human wisdom that you go out and do this thing. You have to rely totally on the Spirit. You have to open your mouth, and I'll fill it. You have to go out there. Not that you're not prepared, because it takes a preparation of the heart. If you don't have a preparation of the heart and a preparation of studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, Satan will work you over and slap you up and down one side or the other if you don't know how to resist him in the word like Jesus did when he was tempted, when the Holy Ghost took him to the wilderness, and Satan started bringing all these deceptive accusations and manipulations of scriptures to him, and he said, no, it is written, you shall not, and he just nailed it back with the word of God in the power of the Holy Ghost, though. And we saw that this was a separate experience. What I didn't read last week was that little part in the middle about what Jesus said. I got to the part of why I'm so on so fire about it, but it was about the form of godliness without denying the power. But listen to this. If you have a smartphone, first of all, and if the most use of that smartphone isn't for Bible apps, for communicating with brothers and sisters, or even loved ones or lost in the world, phone calls and texts and certain things, if that's not the primary use of that cell phone, it's being misused. If Facebook and tweeting and all this other stuff consumes more, the Lord told me to just do this as a kind of a way of saying, listen, folks, this is a wonderful, technology is wonderful, medicine, the things I've given you are wonderful, but there's so much abuse and misuse of it and misinterpretation of things that you could see blogs that destroy everything that the Bible talks about, you know, even stuff we're talking about today. But what I did was I just did a find in my Bible app, and I put down Holy Ghost. And it came up, of course, in the New Testament with 89 matches, but it's so awesome. You start reading these. I just want to saturate, by way of saturation, get into those scriptures and just read real quickly. These aren't even on the board yet, so we don't have Josiah going yet. But he says, you know, David said himself by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord. And he says, the angel of the Lord said unto her, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. So there you are with Mary. Then you start getting here, and here's the one I want to really get to. You know, in John, we're going to talk about the ones Jesus said. And then in Acts, it says, listen to this. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, this is talking about Jesus, through the Holy Ghost had given commandment. Isn't that amazing that he, through the Holy Ghost, gave the commandment to wait till you're endued with power? There is something about the Holy Ghost that is weaved throughout the whole fabric of especially the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, though, because Hebrews refers to that. It's so weaved about in the fabric of the New Testament that is the binding power that holds everything together in the doctrines, in the truth of the New Testament, is the power of the Holy Ghost. Right there is just one proof. Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, commanded them, depending on that same power. He said, the words I say, I don't say it for myself. It's my Father in me. The works that I do, I don't do it myself. It's the Father in me. He knew the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost that was in his life. And we went through a few of the John, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. It's so awesome. Even in Acts, as they started declaring, therefore being at the right hand of God exalted, talking about Jesus, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see. So there it is, the promise of the Holy Ghost. And he shed it forth upon them, and they were all filled. Then Peter, in Acts 4, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them all, you rulers and people. He was filled with the Holy Ghost whenever he started preaching or teaching. This is the way the church operated in the book of Acts. And it still continues today. There are many who say, oh, it was going to end, it's going to end, because they look in Corinthians 13, shall that, yeah, someday it is. We're not going to need it in heaven. You're not going to need Holy Ghost gifting and power and anointing in heaven. We're going to have all we need, but here on earth, we need to not operate in the natural, but in the spiritual as Christians. and we are witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. So there, and see, in the book of Acts, we see it. I just started scrolling through. They laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And here's a really good one. Here, let me get this one coming up. There's so many of them. And I know I'm going off a little bit, but this is Romans 5. Hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I say in the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Ghost. For the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace, and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sacrificed by the Holy Ghost. Oh my gosh, how can we miss such a powerful thread of anointing and power that operated in the Christians' lives? If you are not allowing that power and not allowing the filling of the Holy Ghost to come in and be that number one way that you are led and guided into everything that we do and say, that's what we strive for. I have not yet attained it, and I don't think anybody else has yet attained it, but we strive, we press on for the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. What was that high calling? Called to be an apostle. What was Jesus called? He was called to be the anointed one. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That was his calling, to be the Son of God, the Son of Man, to die for the sins of the world, and to be the Holy Ghost baptizer. I don't know why that part is left out so much. Probably because there's so much confusion. I think the devil really is the one who is the cause of all the confusion, because it's really not that hard to understand. If you look at the scriptures and you see the scriptures bearing witness, and I'm only partway through this whole thing, and it's just awesome. So many different things. At the conclusion of the second book of Corinthians, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance. It's just all throughout here. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. I could go on and on and on. How much do we need this third person, if you will, you know, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. How much do we need this third person of the Holy Spirit of God operating in our lives to even just walk the walk? If you don't walk in the Spirit, you'll fulfill the lust of the flesh, because you need the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's a couple more scriptures on the first page that Jesus talked about. So here we go, Josiah, in the middle there. I kind of put A and B because I put B first, but let's go to the second part of that where it says, Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. John chapter 5, verse 19, Josiah, let's start in that one, that section. Okay, I'm hanging. You know what? In the in-between times when you're hanging and stuff, I couldn't help this. This is so funny because it's never happened to me before. I was coming out of the bathroom up here, and I was just like, in tongues, you know, I was talking in tongues, and Lori comes walking, and she just walked by me like this. Hi, Pastor Tony, you know. I don't know if you heard me or not, but sometimes I just walk along all day, and I don't know what it is, and Nancy's been saying the same thing, and those who have had this experience have been saying, I don't know, I've been just doing this more lately. There's something that needs to rise up with inside of us to meet and confront the enemy, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of wickedness in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God that are pulling down the strongholds, bringing into captivity every thought. Hallelujah. And this is what part of the work of the Holy Spirit is. John 5, 19, Jesus said this. He answered and said, most assuredly I say, the Son can do nothing of himself. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. There is the cooperation of the Holy Spirit of God within Jesus. And then also in verse 30, we see verse 30 says, I can do nothing of myself, I can do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. That's a really big key part. I do not seek my own will. Putting the natural, putting our natural self aside for the work of the Holy Spirit to operate in our life is a very important key to being able to let God be in control instead of us. And then also in John 8, 28, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. And then also in 12, verses 49 and 50, For I have not spoken of my own authority. It was not my own authority, but I'm giving the same thing that I had to you. All power and authority was given to me, but it wasn't mine. It's the power is not your power. It's not my power. Jesus was trying to let us know that the same spirit that I have in me is the same spirit I'm going to give to you, the promise I'm going to bestow upon you. You go wait to get the same power upon you, and you can be witnesses, and you shall do even mightier works. You know why? Because there was one Jesus full of the Holy Ghost. Now there's millions of Christ followers filled with the Holy Ghost and power. But is there just a form of godliness denying the power, or is there really the power of the Holy Spirit operating in there? So Jesus also said in verse 50 of this, same, and I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. We need time alone. You know how the Bible says Jesus always went alone into a place to get alone? That's why. That's how he heard. In the middle of chaos, in the middle of everyday confusion and life, you can't hear what the Spirit has to say at times. Jesus always cried out with a loud voice at the end of everything he taught, all his parables. Hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Hear, he cried out with a loud voice, because it takes a hearing ear. Not listen, but hear. Hear with your heart. Hearken. Hearken to it. Listen to these words. The words I speak in John 6:63, these words are, it's not, the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that makes alive, that quickens. The words that I speak are spirit and life. So we need time alone to let the Holy Spirit lead us and saturate us and immerse us in the Word of God and to bring the revelation and understanding of it, just like Jesus did. And then also in chapter 14, verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak, I do not speak on my own authority. Kathy, you said it even this morning. How many words do we sometimes? See, I was originally going to do just a message on words. On Wednesday, that's why I have this video we're going to play at the end called Words. But then as I got into it, the Lord said, you know, I want more than words. I want their whole tongue. I want their whole inner being. I want out of their bellies to flow rivers of life out of their mouth, not just words, because words can do a lot of things without them being led by the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Father who dwells in me and does the works. Now go to the few scriptures above it. John 14, these are the meat ones. As far as I'm concerned, John 14, verse 16 and 17. It's probably a little before these ones in the order. And I will pray the Father, this is Jesus talking before he left the earth, one of the very last discourses he had. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Almost right there is all I have to say. Who is this helper, Lord? I don't know about this Holy Ghost thing. I don't know. I've heard about it. There's all controversies about it. There's all. What is this? What is this? What is this? Personally and individually, God wants every single person to become aware of what Jesus Christ was saying before he left, because this is so very important and vital to our Christian walk today, especially in this day and age we're in. And also verse 17, the Spirit of truth, him, he will come, the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Not just upon, but in. Not just come there, but remain. And he will be in you. But he wasn't in them yet. Okay? There is a something that had to take place first. Also, John chapter 15, verse 26. The next one. But when the helper comes, the Paracletos, it's the one who comes, you know, we used to hear it's the one who comes alongside. It's the one who comes inside is the better interpretation. The one who comes inside and we walk along with him. You know, he's not just the helper that's there to put his arm around your shoulder and say, come on, let's go. Although, you know, he's the one it's from in. We got to get God, Holy Spirit, inside minded, realizing. And it's the hardest thing to do because it's like, me? No, you don't. This flesh? Yeah, in this earthen vessel. In this broken cistern that became healed by the blood of Jesus Christ, there is a treasure. Be filled with the Spirit to overflowing. Be not drunk with wine where it is in excess, but be filled in excess with the Holy Spirit, is what he was saying. He said, now I'm going to send to you from the Father, this is the promise from the Father that he was talking about, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, and he will testify of me. People say, you can't talk, you should be talking about Jesus, not the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, the best preacher and teacher talking about Jesus is the Holy Ghost. He magnifies Jesus more than any preacher I know. He magnifies Jesus more than any teaching I've ever heard, more than any doctrinal issue, more than any theology, more than any Bible college I've heard it. The Holy Ghost magnifies Jesus, tells us the things he said, reminds us that he does not talk about himself. He does not glorify himself. He only magnifies Jesus. So why not talk about the power and the authority and the anointing that we need to magnify Jesus in our lives in spirit and in truth? It's the Holy Ghost. And fire. That's another part. Chapter 16, starting in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus again, words of red. It is a true advantage that I go away. You know, could you imagine following Jesus around for 3 years? I mean, it was like 15 billionaires. You know, he was like 10, anything. Blank checks all over the place, devils cast out, healings all over the place, provisions where there seemed to be no way, made a way. Everywhere Jesus went, miracles happened, things happened. And then all of a sudden he says, okay, now I'm going to go away. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's why they said in the beginning of Acts, well, you can bring the kingdom now? You're going to set it all up now? You're going to come down here and take over now or whatever? No, I'm going away and you're going to go do it. It's like, whew. Can you imagine those? But then they realize it after Acts chapter 2. But he said, the helper, if I don't go, the helper won't come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus is the Holy Ghost baptizer. If you want to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, you have to go to Jesus. You have to have the finished work of the cross, first of all, in your life, receiving the righteousness that comes from God, not by works, not by natural means, not by the good things you do, not by the bad things you do even, but all because of the blood of Jesus. You have to have that experience of being born from above, salvation that comes by the power of God through the Holy Spirit into your life. That's that first baptism we talked about, the being baptized by one Spirit into the body. That's the first baptism that the Holy Ghost is responsible for. He is. Yes, the Holy Spirit is in every Christian's life, working to bring. He is in the world, convicting the world, not the Christian. We misinterpreted that. It's not the Christian the Holy Ghost convicts. Conviction is not just accusation. Conviction is you are convicted of that crime. You are guilty of that crime. He is telling the world you are guilty of all that sin, of righteousness, of judgment. You have judgment to look forward to. You are guilty of the sin. You are convicted of it. The only way out for you is to come to Jesus. That's what the Holy Ghost does in the world. In the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit leads and guides and brings to us. If we have sin in our lives, he doesn't convict us and say, you're guilty of that sin and you're going to hell for it. See, the conviction comes with a sentence. If you look it up, it's convicting to the point of implying, to the point of bringing a sentence on the person for that guilt. That's not what the Holy Ghost does. Therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost will come, and he said, I'll send him to you. That's a whole other thing we can get into. It's really cool. So keep going. We're going through. And when he has come, when the Holy Ghost has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. See, the world, the law, the letter of the law has to bring people to Jesus Christ. The conviction of sin, of righteousness, convicting you. You're not righteous. Doesn't matter how good you are, how many deeds you've done, how much money you've given to the poor, how much all the stuff you've done. The Holy Ghost will say, that's not enough. You need Jesus. You are convicted and guilty of righteousness, which is as filthy rags. The Holy Spirit brought us to the cross. No man comes unto Jesus except the Father draws him. How does the Father draw? Through the work of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these three are one. Next verse. He convicts them of sin because they do not believe in me. See? It's not for believers. Okay, next one. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. It's the finished work of the cross that brings righteousness into our lives, nothing else. And of judgment, because you're facing judgment if you don't come to Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit baptizing us bring us to the cross, preparing our hearts to receive the love of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God by grace through faith. That's the Holy Spirit does that. It says it in Romans 5, a whole bunch of stuff about that. Is there any more verses? Aha. I still have many things to say. But you can't bear them now. Is that it? Oh no, okay. However, I love it. Goes right into my style, huh? However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. Not it, not the force be with you. He, the person. I know it's hard to comprehend. It was hard for me to get a hold of understanding the person of the third person of who God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, we said last week, we can understand Father concept. We can understand Jesus. We see, you know, all about him. But this Holy Ghost thing, it's kind of hard to understand. But it becomes clear when you just, like a child, open up your heart to receive it. So he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak. See, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send you the same power that was in me. Here, I impart it to you. Go and wait till you're endued with that power. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. See? Oh, you should be preaching Jesus, not the Holy Ghost so much. What's this Holy Ghost? The Pentecostal people, these Holy Ghost people, they're all crazy, Holy Rollers. There's so much against the anointing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire coming mostly from the church. It doesn't come from the world. The world, it's not the world. It's mostly the church that are saying, no, 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 those are just languages you must understand. These are just languages. I can show you through scriptures and through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, but whether you receive it or not doesn't matter. A lot of people didn't even believe Jesus. Okay. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And what is Jesus? All things that the Father has are mine. And that's why I said, he'll take of mine and declare it unto you. The fullness. All things are available. But it takes the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit, because the natural mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they're spiritually discerned. So don't try in the natural to figure out God. You need Holy Ghost revelation. You need Holy Spirit leading and guidance. And all the troubles and the worries and the cares and anxieties that the world tries to bring, the flesh, the devil tries to bring to you, can all be responded to by revelation knowledge, by understanding, by the truth, the sword of the Spirit, which it's not my sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who wields that sword, not me. If you try to wield the sword, you can cut people, kill people, hurt people, bash people with the, you try to do the sword on your own. Paul said, I don't do it on my own. I come in with the power of the Holy Spirit in my speech and in my preaching. So, okay, and we went over that whole list in Timothy. That's what, to me, this is what the thing the Lord showed me is, because of all that stuff that's going on, Timothy said, incontinent, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of self. They'll be disobedient to parents. You know, that whole list, there was about 15 things in that list. I'm not sure the exact number. But one of the things in the middle of it was having a form of godliness and denying the power. And the Lord said, that stuck out to me. I was like, whoa, he says, I want to shake up my people. Remember, Kathy, you used to say this all the time, shake up. What is that shaking up for? That shaking up is to get us out of our own way of doing things. Get us out of the natural into the spiritual. It's not ooh, it's not Twilight Zone weirdo stuff. People, that's why people stay away from it, though. They think it's weird to become more spiritual. Oh, you're too heavenly-minded. You'd be no earthly good. No, no, no. The more spiritual-minded you are, the Bible says it, be spiritually-minded. The more spiritual-minded you are, the more earthly good you'll be. Because that's where the truth is. You see, the physical realm is superseded by the spiritual realm. The things that are not seen are more powerful and eternal than the things that are seen. Paul said that's why these things don't bother me, because I'm living out of that eternal realm. I'm living out of that realm of the Holy Spirit. You know, the kingdom of God, when Jesus first came to the earth and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Those are the first words he said. What was he saying? The kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God is a realm. The kingdom of God is a realm of reign by a king. That's what the kingdom is. He said, I come, turn your way of thinking around. Repent doesn't mean, we said it again last week, somebody else needs to hear it again today. Repent doesn't mean, I come, sorry for my sin, Lord, I'm so sorry. I should not have thought that, I should not have done that. Oh God, please forgive me, I just thank you for that. That's not repentance. That's being sorrow. That's being sorrowful for your sin. Godly sorrow worketh towards, it gets you to come to repent. What does repent mean? Change your way of thinking. Completely thinking a whole different way than you were thinking before. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit is there to help us to do that, because we can't do it on our own. And the Holy Spirit leads me into that place where I can say, I never thought of it that way before. But I don't have to do that. That's right. see, there's so many lies and deceptions. That's all the devil's power. That's all he's got. He goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He cannot devour. He cannot pounce on anybody. He cannot take you by force. He has to use manipulation. He has to use deceitfulness. He has to come and steal things, try to steal things away from you by giving you lies and deceptions. And you can take the authority over that by knowing the word of God and letting the Holy Spirit respond. That's what Jesus did. The Holy Spirit, he went in the wilderness and the Holy Ghost led him there. And he came out in the power of the Holy Ghost, it says, in the power of the Spirit, he was able to respond. It's time already. I'm not even on the back page. All right, Paul's prayers, all this stuff. All right, go to the end. End of the front page. Matthew 10:7, Josiah. Bottom of the page, Matthew 10:7. I know you got to go through all those little boxes. Thank you guys for putting up with, going skimming through like this. But we're still sticking around a relevant point here. And that relevant point is we need Holy Ghost power in our lives. You can say Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. I don't know. It's semantics. Holy Ghost is an old-fashioned English term, I understand. Holy Spirit is better. But whichever you look at it, it's we're talking about the third person of the Godhead. So Jesus said this, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, the exousia, the authority, the rule of the basilia, the kingdom of heaven, the realm of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, you go and do this now. That's what I did when I first came, and I had the power of the Holy Spirit to speak and preach these things. Now you go do it. And then the next one at the end there after that, in Mark 16:17-18. Is that there, Josiah? I'm hanging. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, we're skipping something. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And then 18? I don't know. They're flipped. But, and these signs will follow. Only certain people can have the Holy Ghost and tongues. Only certain people can know the power and the authority and the anointing that I had in me. That I want to give to you. Only preachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, they're the ones that I give this special thing to. Oh, by the way, and it also ends with the apostles anyway, so just don't even worry about it. Wait a minute. All those who believe, everybody, whosoever will, may come and drink of this water of life. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Okay, now, as I said before, John, Chapter 7, one last one on the front page here. It's an addition I had. John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. That's that new one I told you this morning. It's probably at the bottom. And there it is. He who believes in me, there it is, is not a certain bunch of people, not only for the crazy Pentecostals, not only for the charismatics. Thank God the Holy Ghost got his foot in the door in the Catholic Church. With the charisma, with the charismatic movement. They're singing the same songs we sing now, a lot of them. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the name of the denomination. It matters who's opening the door to let the Holy Spirit run the show. It doesn't matter what the denomination is. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his belly, out of the matrix of his being, the innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So we saw this whole process in the beginning of the Holy Ghost and fire. Now let's just skip right through, in closing. yes. In the middle of the page, the first thing the Holy Spirit works on, is our heart, our mind. We renew our minds, but it's also our words, our tongue. Let's just do a couple of these. Can you scoot over to Matthew 15? That Matthew 15:18 one that I added in there? It may not be in your notes. I'm not sure. That was just this morning. There's so many different ones. Matthew 15:18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. Next verse? That's it? Oh, okay. Anyways, it's like, in other words, Jesus was saying, he said, it's not what goes in the mouth. what goes in the body just goes through the, you know, the process of digestion and comes out. He said it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. It's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. That's why the Holy Spirit wants to get a hold of our tongues, first of all, to help us out of the abundance of our mouth. Now, I just want to, this is my closing part. We're going to go down to the personal. See where it says personal? Examples of various facets of God's Holy Spirit in tongues in 1 Corinthians. Like I said, I'm not talking about in public worship. I'm not talking about in a congregational, when you come together thing. That's a whole different teaching, and Pastor Sam has done already great teachings on those before. I've heard of myself, wonderful teachings on that. What I'm talking about is the personal things that these examples, let's extrapolate the personal use of the Holy Spirit in these examples that Apostle Paul gave. And in 1 Corinthians 14, right in verse, starting in verse 2, he said this, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him." Now, if it was a language that somebody could have understood, somebody could have understood him. I think the miracle of Pentecost, and believe this, is that when they came out, it says they heard them all speaking in their own language. It did not say they were speaking in those 15 different dialects. Many people will try to put that over there, you know, but I think the miracle of it was that they all heard them speaking in their own language and magnifying God. The miracle of it was that they were just, it was like, it could have been just gibberish, it could have been just whatever, but they heard them in their own tongues. Do you hear that? And the guy standing next to all those tongues that were there, do you hear that? And how are they going to ask each other in the first place? I don't want to get too deep into it, but no one understands. However, he speaks in the spirit mysteries. So to me, the first thing was you can speak to God in mysteries. How can you be speaking in mysteries? Well, that's the Holy Spirit doing it. And you get to that's what revelation knowledge is. When something comes out of your spirit that no way you could have comprehended or understood in the natural realm, because it came from the Holy Spirit and it was about the kingdom of God. It was the hidden mysteries. Paul talked about that. Peter said it too. We preach the hidden mysteries of the kingdom of God, now revealed to us. What is that revelation? What is the revealing? The uncovering and revealing is the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, opening the eyes of their understanding. That's what Paul's prayers were. Oh God, the Father of glory, grant to them spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who you are, that they would know the exceeding greatness of your power, the glory of your inheritance, all these things. It takes an opening of the understanding by the Holy Spirit to do that. So personally, asking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire is so that you can speak to God in the Spirit and let the Spirit of God bring mysteries to your mind and to your understanding. Verse 4, another thing he said, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. That's why we don't blast all over in tongues in the church. If maybe one or two that he said, go ahead. But he said, I speak more than all of you. But I'd rather speak 5 words instead of 10,000 tongues in public. See, we're not talking about public. This is a personal thing. You can edify yourself, build yourself up in the most holy faith, it says in Jude 20, by praying in the Spirit. Build yourself up. This is what the Lord said. He wanted me to personalize it, make it individual. Don't worry about corporate worship, and don't worry about everybody else's believing. Don't worry about what the rest of the body of Christ is doing. You, in your own life, need personal edification and building up by the Holy Spirit in the faith of God that is more powerful than anything you could see, feel, touch with the 5 senses, the natural mind. It goes deeper. It goes into the spiritual realm, and we have to be spiritual people, not weird people, but spiritual people. We go into everyday life and the everyday common, but we come with the uncommon, super on top of the natural, to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to bring the words of God, to bring the power and anointing of the love of God into people's lives, takes Spirit and truth, not by might nor by power, not the same power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's how these things happen. And we need to become more spiritually minded people, not weird. Verse 14, three more things and we're closing. In verse 14, he said, "For if I pray in a tongue, it's my spirit that's praying, but my understanding is unfruitful." So here it says, you can pray in the Spirit. Also Jude, which I already quoted, and Romans 8:26. Very familiar to all of us. Let's listen to Romans 8:26 again. Skip over to that if you would, Josiah. It should be, there it is. So what is the conclusion then? Oh, wait, you're in a different one. Well, no, we're not there yet. Maybe I added this one. But it's something that Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:26, "For we know not how we ought to pray." Just hold on for that for a second, Josiah. For Romans 8:26. Anybody got it? Thanks, Josiah. So likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I don't know if you've experienced that. I have many times. So we can pray in the Spirit. Also at the end of Ephesians, he says that. You know, taking the shield of faith, taking the sword of the Spirit, and praying in the Spirit with all types of prayer. He specifically said, pray in the Spirit with all types of prayer. The very next one, verse 15, now go to verse 15 in back in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15 through 17. So what is the conclusion then? Yep, I guess I am going to conclude. I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in the understanding. Again, I'm not talking about in public worship, congregational atmosphere, although Paul used it for this, but I'm extrapolating out of that to our personal lives. What is the conclusion? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. And then it does go on to say, verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, so if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? So see, this is in public worship, you have to do it a certain way. You have to have the understanding. You have to have words that people can understand. You can't just mutter off tongues all over the place. Okay, since he does not understand what you say, and the last one, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. So we conclude through these, extrapolating these instances of the Holy Spirit working in a person's life, not out of order in public worship, but personally, you speak to God, you edify yourself, you pray in the Spirit, you sing, worship, bless, you give thanks. All these, it's not just one thing. You don't just pray in the Spirit. You don't just magnify God and worship God when you're speaking in tongues. You edify yourself, you speak mysteries. There's all kinds of facets to the moving of the Holy Spirit as we yield our tongues, as we yield ourselves. Now, this is, now, don't give me any flack, don't give me any slack, because this is just for demonstration. This is just for demonstration purposes only. Speaking to God in mysteries. I mean, there's times, like I said, when I'm walking around just, and I'm just like this, and it's like, I don't really know what I'm saying exactly, but then all of a sudden things start coming to me, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool. I go to do a job. And you see, the Holy Spirit prepares you with revelation, knowledge, and understanding for even the simplest task in life. I've done things where In my human mind and understanding, I just can't figure it out. Oh, I forgot to pray. Oh, Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Guide me. Oh, yeah. And then it comes, you know. And sometimes you just pray in tongues and you get that. The other one, edify yourself. I mean, edifying yourself in prayer. You speak in tongues and it just edifies. You're driving down the road. You start, I don't know how many times I've ever done that. Just start speaking in tongues. And it's just like, it's just edification. It's just like a spiritual bath that goes on and a flow out of my belly that comes in. And even though my understanding is unfruitful at the time, it's still something is happening in my spiritual realm. And then sometimes it will manifest itself a little bit later in the day or even a little bit late after that, the edification of it. And praying in the Spirit, as you know, Romans 8, the groanings. I don't know about you, but nowadays there's a lot of intercession and groanings that are coming from the Holy Spirit in prayer time. It's like, oh God, chita bakondesita. Oh Lord, just touch my sita bakonde. And it's like the Holy Spirit joining together with you to bring out in you a prayer, an intercession, a petition that you don't have the words. You don't know the exact words to say. What can I say about this, Lord? I don't know what to say. And then you allow the Lord, because he knows the mind. He knows the mind of God. He knows the revelation. He knows what to say to you. So there's times of that happening. And then, of course, there's times of singing, worship, understanding. When you're praising the Lord, glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah, Lord. There's none like you, none above you. You are holy, mighty, worthy. It just comes out of you in a worship and a praise. And so there's so many different facets of the way the Holy Spirit works in us that is, like I said, not weird, but it's spiritual. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. The natural mind can't receive these things because they're spiritually discerned. It takes a childlike heart to just yield and say, Lord, this baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire stuff, whatever it is, I just need that intimacy, that depth, that help that comes that Jesus you offered when you said you were going away. I will send him, the Comforter, and he will come. And, you know, I wish I could just lay hands on you and Pastor Sam wishes we could just lay hands on everybody and just have that electric, you know, powerful event happening. But sometimes it only happens in gentle and sweet ways. And I'm going to let Sister Kathy close with a quick testimony about it.
If I could just give this little testimony and just remind you of the truth of God, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he doesn't change. And Pastor Tony and I were talking, and I know we don't get to talk a lot, but Nancy and I get to talk a lot. And we've talked about how the baptism of the Holy Spirit has kept us. And, you know, we're kind of wondering what's happening in the church today. What's going on in the church today? And we both can testify that it's been the Spirit of God that has kept us. And are we perfect? Absolutely not. Are we still working on our testimony? Absolutely. But there is an encounter with God that once he becomes real to you, once you could see him for who he is and what he does, you will never be the same again. And I remember, and I'll say this as quickly as I could, Pastor Sam had gone to church on a Friday night. I did not go that Friday. And he came home late. And those of you who knew, it, Friday nights, we never left here till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. But he came home and he said, I received the Holy Spirit tonight. And I go, wow, that's awesome. Didn't really know too much about it, but I thought, ooh, that's awesome. But I knew it was something that had changed him. So I couldn't wait till the next day so I could tell somebody in my family what happened. And they said, that's not for us today. And they said, and I said, well, what are you talking about? Well, that's not. And I'm thinking, okay, I did learn this. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I, you know, and I thought, all right, look. To my family, this family member, I can talk about Sam, you can't. Yeah. See, I can do it. Nah. So what happened was that day I got into the Word of God. And I said, God, I want to know what your truth is. I want to know exactly what does this mean. And I want to tell you, I didn't ask anybody else's advice. I didn't listen to another pastor. I didn't go asking a million people. I got into the Word of God. And 40-some years later, just recently, God had shared something with me that I had no clue what was happening. But through that whole week, I dug into the Word of God. I wrote down every scripture. I wrote down everything that I seen in God's Word. That Friday night, the pastor says, anybody here want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I looked at Sam and I go, because he said, I want you to come up and sit in these first few rows. And I said, should I go? And he goes, it's up to you. And I thought, you know what? I want whatever God has for me. And you know what? If that's being selfish, if that's being greedy, I want it. I was greedy. So I came up here. And let me tell you, because I just realized this, God just revealed it to me. I sat up front and I said, Lord, let me have whatever you have for me. Well, for the whole message, I don't know where I was, but I did not hear one word the pastor said. And I never knew why. And how many here really, let's be honest, know when you fall asleep in church? I know when I do. I did not fall asleep. And my head wasn't bobbing. I wasn't doing anything. But I sat there, and then all of a sudden, the next words I heard is, all right, will you get up and come and let us pray for you? It's all I remember. And when God touched me, I knew it was not a man. It wasn't a woman. I just felt the Holy Spirit come over me, and I knew it was a supernatural thing because I was speaking in tongues, and it wasn't for anyone else. It was just for me. And I remember getting up and going to the ladies' room after I don't even know how long. I don't know. But I went in there, and I makeup all over. You know, those of you who know me, my not waterproof makeup. But I went in there, and the pastor's wife said to me, Sister Kathy, are you okay? And I said, and I just could not even talk. And I thought it was an experience that was just between, when Pastor Tony keeps saying that it's a personal thing, it was an encounter with God that he had shown me something that man couldn't take from me, nobody could steal from me. And I'll tell you, after 40-some years, God revealed to me where that half hour went. And I just want to tell you, he didn't want a man to say anything that would take away the truth that he had just shown me. And whether it be, I don't think it was ever going to be deliberate, he never wanted me to lose sight of the truth of his word. So if I can encourage you, if, and like I said, we're not perfect. There's times, gosh, please help me with this. You know, why did I say that? Why don't I do this? But I want to tell you, if you want to see the truth of God and who he is, get into his word and ask him. Ask him for that baptism of the Holy Spirit that will change your lives forever. And you want to take a stand for things, it's the Holy Spirit who will give you the boldness to take a stand for the things of God. You want to press on when everything else is going crazy? Be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because I'm telling you, you can go and tap in. You could just reach out, and he's right there bringing us right back on track again. So I just want to encourage you. All those scriptures that Pastor Tony did, nobody did that for me. So you guys got one on me. Read those words for yourself. Read God's truth. Don't listen to anyone else, but get into God's word and find out for yourself what he has for you. Don't shortchange yourself for the things that God has for us that we'll be able to press on and be the witness he's called us to be.
God. Thanks, Sister Kathy. Love the testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. And, you know, Pastor Sam and I desire, we just wish we could just lay hands on everybody, they would just be filled. But it's up to you to be hungry and thirsty and to go study the word and be like a Berean and see if these things are so in this day and in this age. And if this is for me, Lord, I want everything you have for me. And so I want you to go. And just like Jesus said, go and be endued with power from on high, and let the Holy Spirit work, because you will see every message you hear will just be, whoa. I mean, the flowers will look better, the clouds will be, whoa, it's God's creation. Everything just, it gets enhanced, you know. It's because it's not us naturally, it's the Holy Spirit, it's God enhancing all that. You'll go to heaven if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, but you're going to have a tougher time going there. And you may even go there earlier if you don't listen to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and keep eating Paula's donuts. No, I'm only kidding. You're lucky Rich Rittenberg isn't here. He'd be saying, who brought this evil upon us? You know, Rich Rittenberg. But no, thank you for the generosity of people who do that. Just pray over it and cast out. No, whatever. But anyways, stand with me and let's conclude the service tonight with our offering. And as I said, when I first was doing this message, I wanted to just be on words. But, you know, words of life come from the Holy Spirit. And so the video we're going to watch, as you're giving your offering, look at the words of life that the Holy Spirit is talking about.